today is out of the prophetical book of Jeremiah. God raised up from Moses' time unto Malachi's time prophets. They were called by God to this important office. They were anointed by him, and he gave them the words in their mouth to speak. They went forth speaking in his name, teaching and instructing the people. And they spake with boldness, with confidence, proving that they had a heavenly sender, that God had anointed them. What they spake was the truth. It was for a period of 1,000 years that God gave a succession of prophets. And they all spake in the same spirit, all taught the same doctrines. They all were in unity. And these men, they were given to expound the law and to teach the people. Likewise, they also foretold future events. They were called seers of old. They would tell people things that were going to take place maybe thousands of years before they took place. Some of the prophecies which they have given have yet to be fulfilled. These men, they were given to proclaim the sins and the iniquities of the nations to whom they were sent, and they were given likewise to speak to the people to repent from their sins. And we have here Jeremiah. The words of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest of Anathoth. It came in the days of Josiah, the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, and it also went through all the wicked reigns after this God-fearing king had died, until the reign of Zedekiah of the 11th year in the 5th month, when Jerusalem was carried away captive unto Babylon. Now this Jeremiah, he was the son of a priest, Hilkiah. And this man, he was raised up by God for this sacred office. And we find that the Lord said unto him, "Before I formed thee in the belly, before thou came forth from the womb, I have sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations." And this was very encouraging for Jeremiah, very strengthening, and this gave him to believe that God had made choice of him from all eternity, that God loved him, and that God separated him for this great work. Probably you have read this, and you've been exercised with this. You've said, "Oh, I wish that I knew that God had chosen me, that before I ever had come forth into this world, that he had loved me, and that he had ordained me unto eternal life." Are there any such amongst my hearers that are exercised concerning this? Maybe you've looked at this text and you've said, "What a blessing. This man, he was assured and the one God called him. Here I am. I don't know what to make of what's going on in me. I have no name for it." Probably you don't. But are you concerned about this? Well, that's a good sign. If you're concerned about whether you have been chosen by God, whether you are ordained unto eternal life. Let me ask you a question. Were you always concerned? What makes you concerned now? Was there a time in your life that sin became sin to you? You couldn't go on in sin? Or have you never had any convictions of sin? Are you still living in sin? There may be some listening to me that have had a time when they couldn't go on any longer. Convictions were so sharp, they cut so through your soul. They brought you upon your knees in secret with a true confession of your sins. You couldn't go on, you forsook them. There came probably a time in your life when God let all his goodness pass before you. He took you back when you were living in sin, wallowing in sin. He gave you to see so many times in your life where he had spared you, where he had kept you, where he had warned you, and you never took any heed. You went on. But now you see this as you never saw it before. Seeing this, it has given you such a warm feeling in your soul to God. It has brought you to him. In all probabilities, you came just like Esther, or rather, I would say Rebecca. You know Rebecca, she was pregnant, and she had twins in her womb. And there was so much disturbance within that she said, "How am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord about it. Is there a disturbance inside by you? Is sin raising itself up? Are you troubled about it? Are you concerned about whether you are a child of God or not? Have you went to God like Rebecca? And have you said, "Why am I thus? Lord, am I one of your children? Are you working in me? Won't you make it plain? Won't you make it clear?" How many are exercised like this concerning their immortal souls? Or aren't you exercised at all? No concern. Indifferent. You that are concerned, were you always that way? No, you say. What makes you that way now? It's God that has done this. And you carry it to him, and he will in due time reveal that you are one of his children, that he loves you, that he's leading you. He will give you some assurance thereof, and it will be very comforting to your soul. It's a mercy for any person to have in the beginning very clear, very plain proof that God has loved you, has chosen you. Very few have this. Jeremiah was blessed with this information by God himself. God had chosen him then and separated him to this wonderful office of a prophet. And when he had this commission given to him, we find that Jeremiah spoke unto the Lord and said, "Lord, I don't know how to speak. I am but a child." Now, whether he was a child or not is a question. He was very young when he was called to this prophetic office. How old, we know not. But he did prophesy for 42 years. And this man, he felt himself to be as a little child. A little child is ignorant, is insufficient. A little child is very humble. And this is the way Jeremiah felt concerning this wonderful work that God would use him for. He, in other words, made an excuse. He couldn't speak. He didn't have the ability to do so. Are there some listening to me that probably have been called to a certain office in God's house? And you likewise have shunned to be that. You have wished that somebody else would have been called. You felt yourself insufficient. You felt yourself to be so ignorant, so incapable of doing something like this. Now, of course, this was an excuse on the part of Jeremiah, but we find that Moses, when he was called by God, he came with the same excuse. God called him to take the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And when he was called, he said, "Lord, I'm not eloquent," he says, "and I'm a man of slow speech." In other words, "Take somebody else, Lord. I can't be used for this kind of work." But the Lord said unto him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who hath made the blind, the dumb? Have not I? Go, and I will be with thy mouth. Same here with Jeremiah. He, as a child, you know, there isn't a better feeling in this life than to feel yourself to be a little child. Wonder how many felt that way sometime in your life. You ever feel that way? All my hearers, you know the disciples, when the Lord Jesus Christ was with them on earth, they were speaking to each other about who was going to be the biggest in the kingdom. They considered that he would erect an earthly kingdom, and they wanted to know who would be the greatest. And the Lord took these disciples, and he gave them instruction. He took a little child, and he set him in the midst of them. And he said unto them, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. It was a very good lesson for these disciples. And if you are a child of God, then God gives you that same lesson. There isn't a more blessed place to be than to be like a little babe, to be like a little child. Oh, a child, you can pick the child up, you can do anything you want with the child. And when you are in a childlike frame of soul, God can do anything with you. You're easy to be handled with. I wish I was this way every day of my life, to be like a little child. So seldom we are that way. Our natures are so entirely different. But God humbles every one of his children. He brings them down into the dust, and he makes them so small, and he gives them to see so much of themselves that they are the least of the least at times. And now the Lord said unto Jeremiah, say not that thou art but a child, for thou shalt go and speak whatever I shall command thee. He was then not to say that he was a child. He was to act like a man. He was to be bold. He was to be fearless. He was to be God's mouthpiece. And therefore God said, say not that thou art but a child. Whether he was a child or not is a question too. He was young, but how old he was, well, we can't fathom. But he was to go forth then and speak whatever God gave him to do. And then God spake unto him and stretched forth his hand and touched his mouth and laid his words in his mouth, and he was given then to be sanctified in this respect and taken by God himself to be used to speak his word. This was a blessing for God to take control of a person's tongue. His tongue was no more his own. What he was going to speak would be the word of God. He was to be used then as God's mouthpiece unto Israel of old. So this man, Jeremiah, he was then commissioned by God himself to go forth and to speak unto Israel of old. What a blessing when God comes, chooses us, puts his word in our mouth, and anoints us and sends us forth. Such must be the case with every person that's called to the ministry. They must know who called them. They must know who anointed them. And they must know that they are God's mouthpiece. There are so few of these kind in the world today, my hearers. So many go to college. So many learn to be a minister. So many take it upon themselves. And some of them, they preach the truth. Everything that they bring forth is truth. But they never have been sent. They never have been called. They never have been anointed. They have nothing to fall back upon. Whereas Jeremiah, he could come back to what God had sent him to do. And if God has called you and sent you, then you can go back to God with what he anointed you with and spoke to you with. And now Jeremiah, he was commissioned now to preach unto Israel. He had to lift up his voice and tell the people what was going to come upon them. He was, in the first place, a reproving prophet. He was sent to reprove the people. And they were living in idolatry. They were living in sin and iniquity. Read the prophecy, you find They had erected even idols in the temple of the Lord. On the roofs of their housetops, they had erected images of Baal, and they worshipped them. They went down in the valley of Hinnom with their sons, and they offered them up unto Baal. Terrible things the Israelites were doing. And Jeremiah, he had to reprove these people of their sins. He was not only a reprover, but he was likewise a weeping prophet. Not because he just penned the lamentations. No. His prophecies, most of them, were fulfilled in his lifetime. What he prophesied came to pass, and he lived amongst these people, and he's seen their miseries, he's seen their troubles that came upon them. And he was a man of a very tender and humble spirit. And he wept and was broken to pieces because what he had spoken to them would not listen. They turned a deaf ear to whatever he spake unto them about. So this man, he was commissioned in this way and told by God that he should not be afraid of their faces and of their countenances, for he says that they will fight against you. The priests would fight against him. The elders of the people would fight against him. The people of the land would even stand up against him. But he should not fear their countenances, for God would be with him. My hearers, this wasn't a very pleasant employment. You know, to speak to people, as Jeremiah had to do, and then to have no fruit upon the labor, to have nothing else but angry faces, people standing up against you, mocking you, deriding you, laughing at you. This was difficult work. Therefore the Lord spoke unto him that he should not be afraid of their countenances. Have you ever reproved somebody? Have you ever seen somebody doing something wrong and evil, and you went to him and spoke to him in love? How was it received? They became angry. They began to talk against you. They began to mock you because you were religious, maybe, because you spoke up for God and for his word. And now when this happens, my hearers, we see somebody else sinning again, and we know what that last person did to us. What's the use? We don't want anymore. We don't speak anymore. It don't help anyway, we say. And this, my hearers, if it is the case with us, this brings us into a mass of confusion. For when we would want to speak, we have no words to speak with. But if we are given by the grace of God boldness and liberty to speak up for God and for his truth and for his law, you will find that God will be with you. God will give you opening. And you will have a clear conscience too. You won't have any voices inside saying to you, well, why didn't you do this or why didn't you do that? Because you did what God commanded you to do. Now this man, Jeremiah, was a man of like passions such as we are. And he met with many difficulties in his work. He met the people rising up against him. And he had to be persecuted. And he was treated very mean by his own countrymen. We can't run through this whole book of Jeremiah, but we will give you some of the things that this man went through in his life. If you turn to the 20th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, before you come to this chapter, we find him reproving the false prophets. And there were so many deceitful prophets, and they were witnessing and testifying that all the people that had been taken captive and led to Babylon, and all the vessels that had been in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, were going to be brought back. In 2 years' time, God would break the yoke of the king of Babylon, and all these people would come back, and Jeconiah, who had been king at one time and who had went over on the side of Nebuchadnezzar, he would be brought back. And now Jeremiah, he testified against these false prophets, and he called them liars, and told them that they were deceiving the people, and they were trying to get the people to trust in a lie. And there was one by the name of Pashur, the son of Immer. He was governor over the house of the Lord. He was a prophet. And when he heard Jeremiah prophesying in this way, he put him in stocks. He took him prisoner and put him in his stocks. You know what stocks are. They're pieces of wood. They got five holes in them. They put his neck in one of the holes and his two arms and his two legs. And he sat in an open place where the people went in and out of the gate and they came up to the temple. Now this pastor, a religious man, a prophet, this is the way he treated another prophet. It's always been that way in the world. Religious enemies treat those that are true with more scorn and more ridicule than even a worldly person. And he had to be in these stocks all night. The next morning, Pashur released him out of the stocks. We don't think that Jeremiah fought or opposed what Pashur did to him. He submitted to it in meekness and in humility. But when he released him, then we find that Jeremiah had a word of God to him. And he said unto him, Pashur, thus saith the Lord, your friends and all the people in this city will be carried away captive to Babylon, and you will see your friends killed with the sword, and you yourself and everybody in your house will be taken captive and carried to Babylon, and you will die there and be buried there. God took it up for Jeremiah. God put this word in his mouth and proclaimed unto this lying prophet what would take place with him. And now we find Jeremiah in this chapter. He's a man just like each and every one of us. And we find him talking to himself. He says, I am in derision. He says, because of the word of the Lord, I'm being mocked. I'm being hated. I'm being despised. And he said, I won't speak anymore in his name. He made up his mind he was going to quit being a prophet. It was no use being a prophet. Inside they were saying to him, why don't you keep your mouth shut? You ain't doing any good anyway. Nobody's listening to you. And you're putting yourself in a lot of trouble. Why don't you keep your mouth shut? And he decided he would listen to those voices. These were enemies within, and the Lord had said that none of his enemies would prevail over him, much less these enemies inside. But he was like you and I. You wouldn't want this every day, somebody hating you, somebody laughing at you, somebody making a fool of you, somebody talking against you. You'd soon keep your mouth shut too, I'm afraid. I'm talking about myself. And he was a man just like us. And this got the best of him. I wonder if any of those that are listening to me have ever been in a position where that, much less than Jeremiah, happened to you. Maybe just something, a little incident. And you got into your pride and you said, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to be this anymore. I'm speaking of experience, my hearers. And this man, Jeremiah, was like this too. But God had commissioned him. God had sent him. And what happens to him? He got tired of keeping his mouth shut. He was weary with forbearing, it says. And the word of God became like a fire in his bones. He couldn't keep quiet any longer. He wanted to, but no, it was God that was with him. What a mercy it was for this prophet, and that the word of the Lord became like a fire inside. Oh, then it's an easy matter to go and speak. We find him after this experience expressing how that God had helped him and overcome his enemies. Sing unto the Lord, he says, and praise the Lord. For he had been given to be delivered from this frame that he had been in. But right after this, my hearers, we find that this man sank so low in his feelings that he began to curse the day of his birth. He began to say he had wished that a messenger had never come to his father concerning that his mother had given birth to a man-child, meaning himself. Cursed be that day, he says, that this news was brought to my father and he was made glad with it. Why did I come forth out of the womb, he says, to be nothing else but a ridicule and a mockery, and to be nothing else but sorrow and shame. And this is what he found, and that he had to be because he had been called to be a prophet. He then cursed the day of his birth. We find Job did the very same thing. Job likewise had wished that he had never been born. He had wished likewise that he would be delivered out of his miseries. Maybe there's somebody listening to me that has likewise been in this position. Maybe you've been afflicted by the hand of God. Maybe you've been brought very low providentially. There may be so many things come up against you that you didn't say maybe to somebody else, but inside you said, I wish I never was born. I think maybe, I wouldn't say everybody has this, but there are times in our life that we look at an animal and we consider that animal much luckier than we are. So the animal dies, and that's the end of it. But us, if we die, we have to appear before our Maker. We have to give an account of what we have done here below. And we consider an animal more fortunate than we ourselves, because we don't have grace. We haven't anything to answer to God if we should have to come before him. It will be a lost matter. But now here we have two men I'm speaking about, Job and likewise Jeremiah, both eminent saints, both assured of their salvation, sinking so low that they wished they had never been born. They cursed even the day that they were born. Now, my hearers, this is not written that you and I should do the same thing, but this is written for our admonition. It's a sin to curse the day that we were born. God brought us into this world. He said, why didn't my mother's womb become my grave? In other words, he wished his mother had died when she gave birth to him. In other words, he wished that she likewise would have been dead. This is folly. This is foolishness, my hearers, to wish this. You know, if there wasn't another life after this, considering the many troubles that we have in this life, then it isn't any wonder sometimes that we would say, I wish I had never been born. But my hearers, you do not read once in the scripture of any person ever saying that he wished he had never been newborn. This is the most important thing that happens in a person's life. Nobody will ever despise the grace of God shed abroad in the heart of a sinner. And I would entreat you that are listening to me, seek to be newborn, so that when the troubles of this life come to an end, you may enter into that glorious abode where there is nothing else but happiness and peace and joy forevermore. Or seek the Lord while he is yet to be found. He is very near unto us, even in the ministry of his word. Call upon him while he is yet near, and let every sinful person turn away from their sins and seek this God in heaven above, that you may be found in Christ Jesus when death comes and be taken to be with him. We find likewise that this man, Jeremiah, he had to prophesy against false prophets. We read in the 28th chapter of his book of a certain prophet by the name of Hananiah. Of this man, he likewise had heard Jeremiah prophesy concerning these false prophets. And he was one of the most boldest of them all. And he had proclaimed by the mouth of the Lord that in 2 years the people would all come back to Jerusalem, the city would be again inhabited, and this king Jeconiah would be upon the throne. And Jeremiah was listening to him, and he said, Amen. Let it be so. His heart was with that. Oh, he wished too that God would deliver these people. But it was not the word of God. The Lord don't put a word in one prophet's mouth and then another word in another prophet's mouth that they're not agreeing. Read the prophecies. They all speak in unity. For this Hananiah, he was told by Jeremiah that that was not going to be, because God had said that he would carry all the people captive and that they would be in the land of Babylon 70 years. Then they would be given to come back. But Hananiah was so sure of what he was prophesying that he went over to Jeremiah, and he had one of these yokes on him, a wooden yoke. God had told him to put this on him. And he took this yoke off Jeremiah's neck, and he broke it in pieces. In other words, he says to Jeremiah, you're a liar. In 2 years, what I say is going to take place. You're not a true prophet. And Jeremiah, he went his way. But God came to Jeremiah and said, Return. And say unto Hananiah, You have broken a yoke of wood. But I will lay, and I have laid, a yoke of iron upon all these nations, and they shall serve Nebuchadnezzar 70 years. And return to Hananiah, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Hananiah, you have taught these people to trust in a lie, and God will cast you off this earth, and you shall die this year. Oh boy. Imagine having to testify and prophesy to a person like this and declare his doom. There wasn't one word that came out of Jeremiah's mouth to this man that gave him that he should seek repentance, that he should seek forgiveness. He would be cast off from this earth and he would die. For that very year, it was the fifth month, when Jeremiah testified against this man's prophecy, 2 months later, this Hananiah died. This Hananiah, he was lost forever, my hearers. He was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone with all the rest of the false prophets. He was a liar. But Jeremiah was a true prophet. God was with him, and God gave him his message, and God remained with him. Now this man, Jeremiah, he prophesied until the Jews were carried away captive to Babylon. The rest of the Jews that remained, they forced him to go with them to Egypt. And history teaches us that he continued to prophesy in Egypt against the Jews, but they became so enraged and so exasperated with his prophecy that they stoned him to death. This is the way Jeremiah was taken from off this earth, because he was God's mouthpiece and spake in his name and could not do otherwise. Oh, that God would raise up many a mouthpiece in this way, in this country in which we live that testify against the sins and the iniquities that are so rampant amongst us. Oh, what a change would take place. Many of these poor prophets, I am afraid, they would be stoned to death too for their testimony. But God would be glorified, and sinners would be given repentance, and there would be a blessed change amongst us. May this take place in this good land of ours, is the wish of your Bible class teacher. That's all for today.